This is Rabbi James Jacobson Mazels for Yeshivat Hadar, and today we'll be starting a series on Hasidic prayer. Prayer, tefillah, was one of the central innovations of the Hasidic movement, including some radical halachic changes, such as the ignoring of the times of prayer by certain Hasidic groups, praying shachrit, for instance, very late in the morning, or mincha after dark. The Hasidim introduced new approaches and techniques for prayer, such as, most famously, the use of song and dance in a very central way in their practice. They also gave tefillah or prayer an entirely new status within the overall structure of their religious lives, a status which in some ways challenged the central status of Talmud Torah. In this series, we'll explore together some of the Hasidic theory and practice of prayer, and the ways in which Hasidic masters gave us new ways to approach prayer and to practice prayer in our own lives. Let us begin with a classic text from Tzavat HaRivash, the testament of the Baal Shem Tov, although in all likelihood, probably a collection of teachings from the school of the Magid of Mezrich, one of the main disciples of the Baal Shem Tov. The short text, teaching number 41 in the collection, begins thus. Hanishama amra laharav. The soul said to the rabbi. That is, this text is speaking of some kind of internal revelation. A revelation of important information that the Besht receives from his own soul, from the aspect of the divinity within him. And the soul says, Shema shezacha shenikalu alav hadvarim ha'elyonim, that what he merited, that these wondrous supernal things were revealed to him, lo mipnei shelamad arbe mishasu poskim arbe, it was not due to the fact that he learned a great deal of Talmud and a great deal of commentators on Talmud and halachic commentators. Rak mishum tefillah sheya mipalel tamid bekavana gdola. It was only rather because of his prayer, which he prayed always with great intention. Umisham zachah lamala elyona. And from there he merited his great supernal level. Here we have a fascinating text, which seems to challenge and overturn the traditional hierarchies of Jewish culture. The Baal Shem Tov merited the revelation of supernal mysteries, of secrets, of great revelations, of knowledge of how to heal other human beings and how to ascend to the heavens. And he did it all not through his Torah learning, not because he was a great scholar, but rather because he was a great davener, through his experience of prayer. Here, revelation is achieved not by going through once again that which was already received at Sinai, the Torah, and its offspring, but rather through a spiritual practice of prayer which allows one to ascend to Sinai on one's own. Here, prayer becomes the central practice, the central spiritual discipline for the Hasidic movement, one which displaces even the study of Torah, which traditionally held the center place in Jewish life and culture. Indeed, this displacement of Torah was one of the reasons for the opposition of the Mitnagdim to the growing Hasidic movement. Yet clearly its displacement in some ways and the embracing of tefillah and of prayer was in fact one of the reasons for the Hasidic movement's success. Yet this prayer had to be done in a certain way with great intention, bekavanah gdola, in order for it to fulfill its desired effect. Yet here too the Hasidim initiated a revolution, or perhaps more properly, a renaissance. Hasidism was an inheritor of the Kabbalistic tradition, and indeed another chain and step in the development or unfolding of the Kabbalah, or Sod, the mystical element in Judaism. One of the inheritances of Kabbalah was the use of kavanot, of special mystical intentions in prayer and in other ritual activities. Sometimes these kavanot were extremely long and complicated. Indeed, some series of kavanot and tikkunim, such as Lurianic tikkunim, could take days or weeks to perform. Other kavanot were simpler, the simplest and most common being to say, L'shem yichud kudsha brichu shkinte, for the sake of the unification of the Holy One, blessed be He, and His Shechina. That is, the intention in every act, in every time one davened, in every bracha, in every blessing, in every mitzvah, was to do that act in order to cause the unification of the divine masculine and feminine. That is to bring healing to the divine world, and so also to the world below. Kavanot, performed properly, were considered to have great spiritual power, and allow the adept, who utilized them, to ascend to upper realms, to receive divine revelations, to cause divine healing and tikkun, and to enable the flow of shefa and of blessing from the upper realms down to the lower realms into the lives of human beings, including the one who is praying. Often these kavanot concern directing one's mind to the proper sphera, the proper aspect of God, or the proper name of God, or aspect of the name of God, according to a particular blessing, mitzvah, or practice that one was performing. Yet the term kavanah, of course, was a much older term, referred to already in early rabbinic literature. In the earliest Tanaitic rabbinic sources, kavanah is required for certain actions, such as the Shema, or hearing the shofar, and seems to mean a kind of directing of one's heart and mind to the divine. In the case of the shofar, a kind of mindful attention and focus to the sound one was hearing, and in the case of the Shema, for instance, a mindful intention and focus in one's declaration of the unity of God. In the Amoraic discussion of this issue, concerning the question of whether mitzvot tzrichot kavanah, whether one is required to have intention when doing a mitzvah, the meaning of the term kavanah seems to shift. And rather than speaking of a kind of mindful awareness or intention, the question is whether or not one knows one is doing a mitzvah or commandment, whether one is doing an action with the intention of fulfilling a divine command. In the Kabbalistic tradition, the notion of kavanah in some ways returns to its Mishnaic or Tanaitic sensibility, a kind of mindfulness and focused attention. Yet beyond that, it becomes even more so a complicated mental exercise of directing one's thoughts and intentions in prayers to the proper realms and areas in the divine Godhead. Here the Kabbalists move from kavanah to kavanot, to these particular symbolically infused mystical intentions which directed prayer and various other mitzvot to particular aspects of the divine pleroma. Yet Hasidism, in a return in many ways to its original Tanaitic meaning, lets go of the complex Kabbalistic kavanot which it had inherited and returns to a simple, heartfelt, emotional, mindful focus on the practice of prayer itself. Let's look at a text from Likutim Yikarim by Rabbi Dovber, the Maggid of Mezrich, which you'll find on page 36b of the Lvov edition. The text begins, V'ikar kavanah huad veikut b'Hashem yiparach. The essence of kavanah is cleaving to God. That is, the essence of kavanah is not all these various complicated practices. It certainly isn't simply the awareness that one is doing a mitzvah, that one is doing a commandment. Rather, the essence of kavanah is the attempt and the intent to cleave to God, to join with God, to be close to God, to encounter the divine in that very performance and experience. V'im nikaven kavanot hashemot, lo nuchal lechaven ma shetzrich liikar. And if he tries to intend the intentions of the names, that is, the various Kabbalistic meanings of the various names in tefillah, he is not able to intend what is necessary for the essential matter. Here we find a fascinating critique of Kabbalistic practice. Here the claim is that if one continues to practice the Kabbalistic kavanot, which you had inherited from previous teachers, one in fact misses out on the essence of the practice itself. By concentrating on these complicated techniques, one actually abandons the very essence, which is the experience and attainment of dveikut, of cleaving to God. Lezot surich shiyeh ha-kavanah shkura ma'or berega v'ikar ha-kavanah v'amitut la-Hashem yiparach ha-bochen klayot v'lev im bemet mekasher atzmo la-Hashem yiparach b'li pniyah chas v'shalom surich lachzor pamim rabot kavanot ha-shemot ha-nizkar l'mal. He says, for this, to really reach the essence of kavanah, to reach this dveikut, one has to have, kavanah needs to be very routine, always present in oneself. at every moment. And the essence of the Kavanah, its real truth for God, the one who inspects our kidneys and hearts, that is, our inner selves, is if one connects oneself to God, blessed be He, without any external or selfish motivations. And to achieve this with the Kavanot of the names, one has to go over them many, many times. But, the Magi continues, U'be'emet yikar kavanah hi shvirat halev, b'hachna'a v'dveikut la'Hashem yitbarach. But in fact, the essence of Kavanah is actually brokenheartedness and submission and cleaving to God. The real meaning of Kavanah and the real goal of spiritual attainment is not some kind of complex esoteric tradition of reciting and connecting various names to various places in divinity, but rather the simple practice of brokenheartedness, of surrender, and of cleaving as much as possible to the divine. Kamo shekatuv tavim b'shem Rabbi Ber, right, as it's written in the writings, in the name of Rabbi Ber, that is Rabbi Dov Ber, the Magid of Mezrich. Mashal al yadayin, there's a parable for it. Sheish l'chol masker mafteach, shepoteach b'kiven. Every closing, every lock has a key that opens it when you intend it correctly. V'lefi ha-misper ken mechaven ha-mafteach. And according to that particular lock, so too is the particular arrangement or intention of the key, right? Every lock has a particular key. And you have to cut the key properly for it to be able to fit the lock and open the lock. V'yesh k'navim. But, he says, there are thieves. And they open these doors, they open these locks without a lock. That is, what do? They break the lock. They break the thing which shuts it in. And it is the case that for every hidden thing there's a key. That is, everything we want to discover, every hidden part of our soul, every hidden part of the divine mystery, everything we search for in our spiritual lives, there's some key that opens up that hidden element. Via kavanah hamechuvenet l'oto davar. And what is the key? It's the particular kavanah which is intended for that thing. If one wants to open a particular lock then, to find a particular part of the self to ascend to a particular level, one has to find the particular key, the kavanah, the appropriate and correct kavanah for that particular element. Avalikar hamavtech liot kaganav sheshover hakol. Ah, but the essence of the key, the essence of opening really, is to be like the thief, which breaks through everything. So there's one way of practicing. One way of practicing is to understand and get all the particulars, all the special kavanot, and to know which kavanah in particular opens which door and enables you to achieve particular elements and to know particular things in the divine realm or in the human realm, in your soul or in the world above. But in fact, all of that is unnecessary. For what we really need to be like is the thief who simply breaks down the door. We don't need all these precise measurements and calculations, all these secret mysteries and kavanot for how to achieve the divine level, for how to reach God, if we know that we can just break down the door at any moment. And how do we do that? Dahinu lishvor halev heitev b'hachna'a gadol. We do it, in fact, by breaking our heart. It's a beautiful teaching. The outer walls of the experience, the blocks between us and deep self-knowledge and deep knowledge of divinity, are in fact blocks and walls in our own self. But when we break our heart wide open, when we allow our heart to be touched, when we allow ourselves to be truly vulnerable, when we allow ourselves to truly surrender, to break the heart well, in submission, in great submission, as he says, then in fact we need no keys, we need no special techniques, we need no special covenants. In that breaking open of the self, in the breaking open of the tender heart, right there in that moment, divinity is present. For when we do that, as the text continues, V'yushbara masach hamavdil lamala, she'al yadeya aya hesker la'adam. Through this internal breaking, which is really an internal opening of the heart, the covering, the barrier which separates above, is destroyed, which itself was the source of these closings, these lockings of the person. Here we have a hint, which appears multiple times in Hasidic literature, to the walls between us and heaven. The walls, which as the Gemara described, are erected like an iron wall after the destruction of the temple. Yet these walls, the Hasidim explain, are in fact not ultimately external walls, but are inner walls. And so therefore, when we break open and tear down our inner walls, the outer walls automatically open as an inherent reflection of our inner state. What we experience as an external barrier preventing us from accessing divinity all around us, preventing us from ascending to heavenly heights, preventing us from connecting with the people and souls with which we interact every day, is in fact only an internal barrier. And as soon as that internal barrier falls, as soon as we break it apart with our broken and open heart, then those external barriers fall away as well. The divine is always already right there before us, simply waiting to be revealed. The divinity of the souls all around us with which we interact every day is always already there before us and simply waits to be revealed as soon as we can let drop the inner barriers, the inner walls which separate us both from our own self and from the selves of others. And this opening is really, as it's described here, a two-part process. One part of the process is this brokenness of heart. The way in which we break away, we allow to crumble or break through the walls we've erected around our heart. The walls that we think are in some ways protecting us from being hurt, protecting us from our vulnerability, but are in fact only barriers between us and genuine experience, between us and divinity. When our heart is broken open in joy, in sadness, in wonder, in discovery, in connection, in pain, in birth, and in death, those walls can fall away. Indeed, this is what the Torah means when it tells us to circumcise our hearts, to remove that outer, seemingly protective layer, which in fact simply prevents our hearts from coming into genuine, direct contact with reality just as it is. And in doing so, finding the hidden presence of the divine, which always surrounds us and fills us. The second step is the Hachna'a Gadol, the great surrender, the great submission. The willingness to not resist, to not hold back, but to let go, to give in to the divine, to reality, just as it is. This great surrender is the letting go of control and is intimately connected to this brokenness and openness of heart. As we try to exert control when we think we are in control, our heart is closed, tight, wrapped around that sense of control and our attempt to fix the world in the way we want it to be. But when our heart is genuinely open, we can do nothing but surrender and open to the divine as it manifests itself before our eyes in this world. This surrender is a deep giving up, a deep letting go, which in the letting go, in the very relinquishing of control, allows us to touch divinity, to achieve Dvekut. For that divinity was always already there, lingering just underneath our attempts at control, just underneath and beyond our attempts to force the world to conform to our desires. And indeed, the Magid continues, "Uvemeta tayadata afa pi shebiyadut lamarti kitzat kavanot, aval eni mechaven behem klal." And he says, you know that though in my youth I learned some of these kavanot, some of these complicated instructions, but I don't use them at all. Raki kara kavanah hu shvirat halev kinizkar lamalan. Rather, the essence of kavanah, the essence of these mystical intentions, is in fact brokenness of heart, as mentioned above. Ve'ahava v'yira v'tmimut v'nitzuach kinizkar lamalan. And so too, the other essential elements are love and awe and simplicity and overcoming. Genuine kavanah is not about complicated mystical intentions, not about esoteric knowledge in the end, but about the simplest of religious qualities, the simplest and often the most difficult to attain, genuine love for the divine, for God, for others, and for yourself. Genuine awe in the face of divine majesty, in the face of the wonder of the world. Radical amazement. Simplicity. Giving up the desire for complexity, the desire to be clever, to be sophisticated, and rather being willing to simply be simple, open, and uncluttered. And finally, this overcoming, this victory, this overcoming and overturning of the self, the willingness in a certain sense to achieve shvirat halev, to achieve brokenheartedness, to let oneself be broken, to let oneself be defeated. For as the Mishnah says, Ezehu gibor hakovesh et yitzro, who is the true champion, who is the true warrior, who is the true man of valor? The one who conquers his own nature, the one who allows himself to be defeated. Vima yinu zochim lezeh, and if we would merit this, that is, if we were able to attain this brokenheartedness, this surrender, this love and awe and simplicity and self-overcoming, then we would easily be able to intend all the kavanot of the Ari, of Rabbi Isaac Lurie. It's quite a radical and surprising statement. The claim is that these extremely complicated kavanot of the Ari are in fact no more than secondary to these basic religious qualities and emotional realities. And that when one truly achieves these emotional realities, when one is truly able to break open one's heart, to surrender, to be filled with love and awe and simplicity, to overcome one's sense of self, when one can do that, then these extraordinary complex esoteric kavanot simply come naturally. Indeed, this is parallel to the Hasidic understanding of the Avot, of our ancestors, the patriarchs and matriarchs. The patriarchs and matriarchs, of course, existed before the giving of the Torah, before the giving of commandments, before Mount Sinai. And yet the Gemara claims at certain points, and in various ways in Midrashim, that the patriarchs and matriarchs already kept the commandments. The Hasidim understand that in fact the Avot were at such a deep level and so in tune with the nature of the divine and nature of the world that they performed the commandments not out of a sense of commandingness, but as a natural response to their knowledge and understanding of the divine and of the reality around them. So too here, when one reaches this deeper level, in fact the Kavanot simply open to you like an open book. They are almost a natural response to achieving these spiritual qualities, which are in fact the goal of spiritual practice. For, the text continues, Lo nomru el anashin kmoto, o pachot ma'at, shekfar libam tahor mikol sig hamafsid hamitaveh lechol tanugim agashmin, umitavin letanug ruchani, tanug kavod shezeh kolel akol. For, he says, these kavanot actually were only for people like him, like the Ari, right, the great Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, or people who are a little on a lower level, but just a little on a lower level, not people like us, that their hearts were already completely purified from any smidgen of inappropriate desire, which desires and longs for all the corporeal pleasures of the world. And instead, they desired only for spiritual pleasure. That is, for the kavod, for the holy glory, that is, the presence of divinity, which includes all. Now, first here we see a fascinating move, which occurs over and over again in Hasidic sources. Earlier practices are dismissed and overturned with tremendous respect, not by doubting their efficacy, but by claiming that they were practices appropriate for an esoteric elite, while the practices the Hasidim are teaching and preaching are appropriate for all Jews of every status. Yet the testimony of the Magid, himself a great tzaddik, indicates that in fact, the issue is a bit more complicated. It is not only that it's only appropriate for people of a certain level, but that even people of the highest level should in fact return to the essence of the practice. And the essence being the cultivation of these spiritual qualities and the direct connection with divinity. the Kavanot being only one and apparently not the most direct path to these qualities. For indeed, the section ends that their real goal here was this spiritual pleasure, which is the kavod, the experience of divine presence, which includes all. And indeed, this is at the basis and heart of Hasidic practice and the Hasidic approach to prayer. Prayer is not, as we will explore more deeply next time, simply a litany of praises or requests for certain needs or even thankfulness, but an actual concrete practice to encounter and experience the divine presence, which, as he says here, kolel hakol, which includes everything. The goal of practice is to achieve that deep dvekut, that deep clinging and presence of divinity in your life, not only in moments of peak experience, such as prayer, but to take from that peak of experience and bring it into the rest of one's lived life. So what we have seen today is two major shifts in Hasidic understandings of prayer, both of which put prayer at the center of Hasidic life, and connected prayer to core Hasidic values. The first element we saw is the way in which prayer in some way supplanted Torah and was seen, in fact, as the central spiritual practice and the spiritual practice by which one could, in fact, achieve ascension to and contact with divinity, the divine presence. Second, we saw that the Hasidim reimagined prayer or, in fact, returned prayer, perhaps, to its genuine origins in the Tanaitic tradition, where Kavanah was understood as emotional presence, openness, and mindfulness, and in particular as a breaking open of the heart, as a deep surrender, and as a cultivation of the qualities of love, awe, simplicity, and self-overcoming. In the next two podcasts, we'll see some of the ways in which the Hasidim utilized particular theological ideas and practices to achieve these very goals.